Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and we'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 5th on the West Coast or on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. It is now March the 6th, and we also welcome all our listening audience across Europe, Asia, Africa, and South America, as well as Canada. So nice to have you with us this evening. We've got a great show for you. Nothing special planned, but between myself and tonight's guest, we can really chat up a storm. We've got a lot really to talk about, but we haven't planned anything, as I already said. So we are also welcoming your calls this evening. If you have something pertinent to a particular topic that we've discussed in the past, or we may even end up discussing tonight. Our guest tonight is a webmaster of a very, very popular website called educate-yourself.org, or educate-yourself.org. And he is a researcher, a metaphysical scientist extraordinaire. He is also somewhat of a historian, and he's got a background in metaphysics and in music. And he's my good friend. He's been on Evident Footprints a number of times, and we welcome him back again this evening, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Don. It's so nice to be on with you again. I'm looking forward to having another chat with you. They always seem to produce fruitful results as we discuss the latest issues of the day.
I thought I would maybe start out and discuss a little bit of what is going on with the economy. You and I don't really talk about that much.
Right.
That might be an indication that it's not our favorite topic, but still worth talking about, because we can see, those of us who are really paying attention to what's going on, that the world's economy seems to be crumbling right now, doesn't it?
Yes, that's the appearance.
And they've given us this cover story that it's because of the real estate market, and
right,
and that's by no means even scratching the surface of what's going on, is it?
Right.
Now, I've been keeping up with Christopher Story's articles, and he reiterated again today that Alan Greenspan was arrested, about a week ago or so, maybe 2 weeks ago, and this was over the $14 trillion that skipped, hopped, and jumped all the way to Dubai from Citibank in New York. Mm. This is money that was given to make the Wantagate payouts feasible, loaned by Prince Al-Awid and the Queen of England, as well as monies that I understand that China had put in. Now, you hear about these recent trips to China and
yes.
Hillary Clinton having
yes.
given eminent domain to China. Christopher Story says that's a ruse. That's not really true.
I was suspicious of that. Yeah, I was suspicious of that. And could continue. We'll get into the details in a minute.
Well, and there had been some arrests. One of the higher ups in the Treasury Department, or actually two people in the Treasury Department, were arrested. And I don't have their names at my fingertips. It's not that important. Mm-hmm. Anyone can go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on news, and there's a series of articles that were written this month and in February that are worth reading. If you want to get a handle on what's really going on.
Yeah.
Christopher is very critical of the mainstream media. And I have to tell you, on the basis of what I find and what other researchers who are looking at the economic situation find, I have to say that the media is so filthy corrupt, it's unbelievable. And I'm speaking about TV and mainstream radio even.
Mm-hmm.
They're spinning these stories, and they have no foundation in the truth of what's going on. We're looking at pure embezzlement. The derivatives and the hedge fund markets are nothing but a fiction built on top of the fiction on top of the fiction of the Federal Reserve. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's a very good way to put it.
And as a result, you're seeing international currencies not willing, first of all, to invest in treasury certificates, and then on the other hand, they don't want to honor the dollar. The dollar is basically worthless.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just making more of it out of thin air, like they've been doing since 1913. It's not like this has been backed by anything substantial. Mm-hmm. And then they're selling off the real estate. These foreclosures, which are occurring, are being given away for free or given away because of the debt and without the knowledge of the people who are being evicted from these homes. So people actually have legal recourse if they just demand that the entity that's foreclosing on them provides an original copy of the agreement. And see, when it transfers, they're entitled to that paper, and that's not occurring.
Very good point.
Now, Greenspan and Bush Sr. were both caught stealing $12.8 billion. I mean, they've been stealing trillion, but this is chump change in comparison.
Yes.
$12.8 billion. They were caught red-handed. They had funneled it through a bank in Canada. And basically, Greenspan is thumbing his nose to everybody, saying, they can't touch me, much like Paulson was doing.
Mm.
So, you know, the past three or so years of this last Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm getting at here is it's gotten worse. With Obama in there now, it's gotten worse.
Yes. Well, all right, let me just step back a bit. And the interesting thing for perhaps someone who tuned into this show for the first time or listened to an archive, who has not been following the New World Order agenda, let's say someone who's relatively new, because I get emails every day from people who just stumble upon my website and are surprised by the information, and they often read it for many hours, sometimes for many days, and then they send me an email, and they'll say things like, I've just been reading your website for the past 18 hours. I'm exhausted, but I've never been so amazed. So when people first stumble upon the New World Order agenda, it's overwhelming, because what they're accustomed to and what they're hearing every day on television or seeing on television, hearing on the radio, is a script. It's propaganda. Sure, they take actual news events and the events which are not at all germane to the New World Order takeover operation are reported, you know, traffic accidents, fires, etc., that sort of thing, usually unnecessarily sensationalized. But so there's that aspect of the news. But when they're reporting political events or particularly what's going on in Washington, what's being decided by the Obama administration and the stimulus package and all that, that is a script. That is propaganda that originates at Tavistock, or the City of London. And then You have other news that is typically covered for a day or so, and then it passes from the scene, such as the plane crash that took place in Buffalo last month. And what people like you are doing is that you stumbled onto a tremendous story there. We were doing an interview, a radio show at the time that the crash took place, and you...
Yeah, that was on the 12th of February.
That was on the 12th. Yeah. You started to discuss. I won't go into the details of it now. I just want to say it's another aspect of the news that when it occurs, it was an intentional knockdown. That plane was taken down. There's plenty of evidence that you and Dr. K particularly have done a lot of investigative work and have drawn out what that evidence are, and you've interviewed people who were on the scene, et cetera, that clearly corroborated it was a setup. It was an intentional knockdown. They had people prepared there on the scenes to, A, act as witnesses, B, act as what is called scrub teams, which go in there and pick up debris and so forth, so the physical evidence would not remain of an intentional knockdown. So there you had a false flag event that was presented to the public as an accident. The plane came down because of icing. The media repeatedly repeated this mantra, although there's no physical evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are in charge of determining why crashes occur didn't say that. You had the news media who, almost in a singular voice, were repeating this mantra, ice, ice on the wings, bought the trailer, as if that plane wasn't a rugged particular model that could easily fly into hurricanes without damage, and who is, it, you know, was made to fly in a northern corridor where ice, wind, hail, snowstorms are normal events. So what I'm saying is that when it comes to the economy, what we're hearing is a scripted presentation of propaganda as to why, quote, we're having this economic meltdown or collapse, which mm-hmm. is worth it. It's all contrived.
Yeah. Now, if you remember during, if I can interrupt just for a second,
yeah, go ahead.
You remember during the show, I had just the impression I should at least pay attention to names and who they're bringing out in front. And that was because of the recent research on 9/11 that I was doing.
Yeah.
I came to the conclusion that all the sidewalk witnesses in Manhattan were basically stooges there for the purpose of putting out the spin.
Yep.
You had this one guy in a clean T-shirt and a baseball cap giving a news commentator the reason that the buildings came down.
Yes, right.
I mean, it's totally preposterous, but
right.
what was he saying? He was saying exactly what came out days later, you see. And they, even that night, but they through the commission and through all the whitewashing of evidence, they lied about everything. We know that. We know there's a paper trail. We know that they made billions of dollars on the people that died.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you that when a plane full of people crash, they collect on insurance.
Yep.
And this came out with a guest that I had on earlier this week, on Tuesday, in fact, David Hawkins and Field McConnell. They have been tracking the financing of plane crashes and other disasters mm-hmm. for some time, mm-hmm. and they came up with three companies that are doing this, and they all are, guess what, associated with Barack Obama. Is it any surprise that the change now has approached $9 trillion, even though a month ago they were talking about how much? $700 billion, right? Which is an astronomical amount of money that they don't have.
Correct.
Okay, so this is being played out in front of people, and they say stimulus package. Now, let me just comment on this for a moment while
yep.
we're on this topic.
Yep.
I was looking at some of the stimulus proposals that are out there, And one such company that's involved in these plane crashes and involved in these what are called fractional ownerships of these aircraft, which makes it a totally controlled issue. You see, they're not under the control of an airline company per se. They privately own this, and the people that fly in it on the basis of the ownership. So they fly for free, and they fly to their death when they decide that they want to make a killing on this insurance.
I see.
When you're flying important executives, they can turn those policies into anything from $1 million to $10 million a person.
Right.
Depending on who it is and how they've written this thing up. And it's done through holding companies. Guess what? The holding companies are involved with these aircraft as well. Now, and holding companies are, by all intents and purposes, insurance companies, and as holding companies, they're given the leeway to invest money. Well, they used to do it in real estate, but now they're doing it in hedge funds, and they're doing it in these bogus insurance contracts. And they get other companies to buy the contracts because the cash is there. So they hold the cash, they're making interest on it, and they might get a cut of the action on the back end of the deal.
Right.
Just to keep doing it, because the ultimate goal is to steal all the money, all the wealth of this country, and cripple the whole nation.
Right.
Okay. And the greed that these people have is astronomical. It's beyond comprehension.
Yes.
You couldn't. It takes 37,100 years to count $1 trillion, a dollar a second.
Okay.
Now multiply that times 10. That's 37,000 years. And they're dealing in 600, maybe 670, 680 trillion dollars of derivatives. Trillion. TR.
Wow.
So you figure out how long it would take to spend that. Where is that money going? You see? And they say, well, we need a stimulus package. So I'm looking at the stimulus package. And I see NetJets, Columbus, Ohio. They're asking for $4.4 million to modify or to build, add on to the apron at their little private terminal at the Columbus International Airport.
Wow.
Now, if that was a company that really needed the money, that's one thing. Okay, Warren Buffett owns this company. Okay.
Okay.
Berkshire Hathaway actually owns NetJets, which is owned by Warren Buffett, a billionaire. Okay? I think he's the second richest man in America next to Bill Gates. What business do they have even considering giving him $4.4 million?
Yes, exactly.
And these guys are cleaning up on these crashes. Now, I can't nail him specifically, but I know that NetJets is part of this whole scheme. The same group of people. And so you have these planes manufactured by Bombardier. They never had an accident. Mm-hmm. And you have this plane mysteriously going down by ice. Everybody in the town of Clarence Center, New York, which is northeast of Buffalo, about 15, 16 miles, decided that they were going to look out and see if there was any ice on an airplane wing that night.
Right.
You know, come on. In their pajamas, okay, mm-hmm. and the individuals that the media brought forth, specifically CNN, mm-hmm. have addresses in the same towns. They show addresses if you do a search on them. In fact, none of them have ages either. Okay, so these are agents. They're stooges that they put there in front of the media. They control the media, so they can control who they put on camera and in front of a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the essence of what's going on, the amount of corruption that's behind the financial demise of this nation. And then what do? After they steal the money, they give more money to the banks. People should be outraged by this.
Yes, exactly. It is mind-boggling. And as you said, there are corporations who have no legitimate right to be asking, and the Congress certainly shouldn't be giving them taxpayer money, yet they are. When you mention the banks, If you recall when the so-called bank, the cascade, I should say, of bank collapses, which, again, it was totally contrived because in a natural unfoldment of history, banks don't simply collapse overnight. And yet, here in Southern California, we had one bank after another, one or two or 3 days apart in the news. Washington Mutual was folded. Newport Bank folded. Downey Savings folded. One after another, it was unbelievable. Now, the only bank that didn't, quote, fold or was bought out by Chase or et cetera.
What they're doing Bank is, of a, yeah, they're federalizing them, basically, is what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Bank of America was the only one that was not among this group. Now, if anyone who's been paying attention and reads enough material, you know that the Bank of America is one of the Illuminati's main banks. If you had to say, well, what's of course you say Chase, Manhattan, Rockefeller's bank, but Bank of America would be near the top of the list of, let's say, Illuminati favored, controlled, influenced bank. Okay, Bank of America is definitely an Illuminati bank. So it occurred to me years ago when I first had read information that made it clear that they were going to bring the United States towards another economic collapse similar to the Great Depression. I had assumed that while a lot of banks would collapse, I figured Bank of America would not because it's the main Illuminati bank. Now, Bank of America, when this cascade of failures started, and as you said, the federal government was stepping in and taking over and all that, Bank of America was not among them. And just recently, I just heard on the news a day or two ago, probably NPR, my favorite propaganda station, had said that the head of Bank of America had the opportunity to get so many billion, I forget, it was a huge number, but he decided, well, they would probably only take half of that. Maybe he was being offered, what was the number he was being offered? It was a very large amount. And he magnanimously decided, well, we don't really need it, but just to kind of shore us up, well, we're going to take about half of it. And then I recall, here you have a bank who doesn't need the money. If you recall when the automakers were in front of Congress too, Ford of the three automakers essentially said, we're not in trouble, you know. Yet when it looked like they were just going to give this money away to the auto dealers, suddenly Ford says, well, maybe we'll take a few billion. Why not? Since you're being so generous to offer this. Now, eventually that, you know, there was enough I don't know whether it's public pressure or it was a planned event, but they didn't quite make out with the windfall of money that they thought they were going to get from the government. But an irrational person would say, why would our government, our representatives, when we've already been jacked into the Bush II came into office with a surplus. And yet, because of initiating this completely illegal, contrived war against Afghanistan and Iraq, I don't know where the number is, but it's easily over $1 trillion just for the cost of armament. And on the heels of that, this nest of illuminated infiltrators, fifth columnists that are make up the U.S. Congress, gave away first what started out as $750 billion, then quickly rose to $850 billion, and then probably was over $1 trillion. And then, of course, the automake people got to come right in. And then just a couple weeks ago, the next installed illuminated puppet rams through, I don't think anyone in Congress read it, but they all voted for it, a stimulus package
that further is adding, you know, more debt to a country that's already, now, a rational people with a rational government first would have indicted the Bush criminals for the multiple cases of crime that they're responsible for.
And the Clintons.
And the Clintons. But beginning with 9/11, I mean, anyone who's can read and got enough sense to understand or spent enough time examining the multiple opportunities to look into 9/11 can see it's an inside job. That was treason. These men should be indicted for high crimes. And yet none of that happened. These guys simply sailed off into the sunset. And I'm sure like Clinton, you know, will be getting $1-3 million per talk when they're invited to be. I mean, it's just insane how not enough Americans can see the gravity of the illegality that we're surrounded mm-hmm. with. And but yet it's so easy. I don't consider myself or you. I'm sure. Nothing extraordinary. An average person, average intelligence, who simply reads what's presented and just applies logic. How can you not see it?
Mm-hmm.
How can the whole country not see the depth of this depravity, this criminality? It just boggles my mind that so people are mesmerized by this script, this play that the news organizations put on every day, every hour, on the hour, TV, radio, and they're just mesmerized by this, and they're completely hypnotized by it.
Mm-hmm.
They actually think there's something real about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all contrived, and yet what's really going on is there's criminal activity on an unprecedented level that's taking place by our so-called leaders.
Yeah. You know, I came to a realization sometime around midday today that the founding of this nation, which was a constitutional republic as we were originally founded, has been verbally changed into a democracy, and it's we have the Bill of Rights, which tells us what we're allowed to do. From the outset of the creation of those documents, what they didn't tell us is they had a two-party contract between two entities split up north and south. You had the Virginia Company and the New England Company, which made a private contract with the commercial or the maritime United States of America, the 68 square miles around Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Now, if we were to go into court to challenge that, we would lose every time because it's a two-party contract.
Yes.
And you can't wiggle your way into a two-party contract as a third
right.
party.
There's only two parties allowed, right?
I've not heard anyone mention that.
I know you've done terrific research on that, Pazer and all that. I mean, although I had perhaps read it in David Icke's book some years ago. But let me just amplify that. You're bringing up a good point. Another, you said it earlier, fiction built upon a fiction built upon a fiction.
Uh-huh.
And what many people now are coming to realize is something that I was exposed to probably around 1996. It's when I first started to go to meetings here in Southern California of these groups. Well, they use different names, but the name that I heard most often was called Redemption. And it just refers to people who are aware of the fact that our entire legal system, if you will, has been overshadowed by an area of law that was intended to be just limited to commerce. And there's a a group of laws that are bound together under something called the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code.
Yes.
And what, so the average citizen, if you're arrested by the police for some infraction or something, you're taken before a judge. We think, or we're led to believe, that there are the rules of the court, the jury, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a fair system, right?
Right. You think it's based on the constitutional precepts for how a trial should be structured and your rights and so forth and so on. But what you come to find out when you look into this whole business is that virtually every aspect of the law now is governed by the Uniform Commercial Code. Now you say, wait a minute, what does that have to do with crime or let's say traffic violation infractions or divorce or things that you have nothing to do with commerce? Yet if you look into it, you'll find out that all structure in the legal system has been overshadowed by this notion of contracts. And that even goes down to a criminal trial, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with this concept. Now, there's a guy here in Southern California, a very sharp man. His name is Richard McDonald. He's an older fellow now. He's probably in his late 70s, I'm guessing, but still sharp. And for years, he's been... he has his own internet radio show, still on the air, I'm sure. But he does seminars and so forth. I heard him at the Granada Forum many years ago. And he does a very lengthy lecture on what he calls state citizenship. And because he was abused by the system, perfectly honest guy, but he was really trounced on by the federal government somewhere in the late 70s. And early 80s, and he wanted to find out why, to use his words, they treated him like a dog. So he started, in fact, he gave up a good paying job, and took a job as a guard in order so that he could study law books at night.
And are you having trouble with your mic, Ken?
Hold on, let's see. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, it sounded like it was falling off your head. So.
Okay, well anyway, he studied for a number of years, and he really dug into the law library all on his own, and he found that fabulous information, which others have discovered too. But I like the fact that he's took the time to really find out what was going on. Now, he used the example, he's a native Californian, so he carefully looked into the California Constitution. Now, the state of California was founded, its original constitution was written in 1849. If you remember the gold rush and all
the
that.
The gold rush, yeah.
Okay. Now, a few years later, and I'm not sure the date, it might have been as late as 1879. It could be as 20 years later. But there was a second constitution in California that was ratified. And that is the Constitution, which all our court systems are based on. The second Constitution was the corporate Constitution, or the incorporation of the state of California. Now, what Richard points out in his lecture, no way does a subsequent, quote, corporate Constitution replace or override or supersede the original founding Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
No way. However, starting from that moment forward in time, because it seemed to me like Albert Pike played a big role in starting the whole concept of corporate structures in the country, 1870-something, I just can't remember the exact date, but Pike, Albert Pike, who, you know, well-known Satanist, Freemason, etc., played a leading role in setting up this concept of corporations.
And he was the inventor of the turnpike.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I'm just joking.
Are you just making an excellent...
I'm just joking.
Okay, very good. Okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he was, though. You know.
So all of our procedures, when you go to court, you'll know you'll be called, summoned to court with all capital letters. Many people have heard about this now.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
I never. You know, when I was younger, you have no idea. It doesn't even occur to you that there's something odd about it. They send you this legalese and everything's in capital letters. It doesn't occur to you that there is really a hidden reason for that. Of course, they don't tell you anything. They just they figure if you're going to answer the summons or et cetera, that you're complying by your action. When you go into court and they say, will the defendant rise? Well, when you stand up, you're telling the court, I'm assuming the role of defendant. And I'm not going to get into a lengthy discussion about this whole notion of the straw man and all that.
Yeah, we had a show on that with Greg Pappas last night. So
right.
Yeah.
So I don't, but I'm just illustrating it to, it's there's subterfuge going on a huge scale. And these perpetrators of this deceit want us to assume or believe what they're presenting to us is the real deal. Like you mentioned, they keep on hammering the word democracy through the media for the past, I don't know, 80, 90 years, I'm not sure. It's been a long time, at least for most of the 20th century. Whenever there was FDR or Roosevelt or Eisenhower or any president in the 20th, most of the 20th century at least, would refer to our society as a democracy. Fact of the matter is, as you say, and many people I've heard say repeatedly, it's really a republic. There is a difference.
Yeah.
And when we used to be in school, when you were younger, we used to pledge allegiance to the republic for which we stand. So it's necessary to repeat these ideas, you know, particularly for younger people because they don't hear them.
Yeah, well, consider this, Ken, that when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, we're pledging to this corporate contract between two parties, the 68 square miles of Washington, D.C., and the British Crown.
Mm.
That's the agreement. The agreement isn't between them and the people here. It's a separate agreement.
Mm.
Contemplate that.
Yeah.
So from the beginning, we've been told a lie.
Yes, yes. And it we're being subjected to a continuation of this play in which there is an illegal alien who's masquerading as the legitimate president of the corporation called the United States. And his board members, if you will, we call them the members of Congress, are rubber stamping bills and agendas which are intended to create or is in the process of creating an economic collapse in this country so that the people will now losing jobs. So they begin by the outer edges of the collapse start with people who can't keep up the payment on their home. They start losing their homes. More people become, they might eventually become homeless, so they move back in with parents or whatever. That's the story. And then as you continue to hear more layoffs, you hear more corporations, you hear, for instance, here, it must be the same around the country, but there's major chains like there's an electronic company that's called Circuit City that just recently shut its doors. There are many Home Depots and Lowe's building supplies, etc. While it's not completely closing down, they're closing many stores so that it's contracting. You hear about huge layoffs from various U.S. manufacturing groups, the auto group, other manufacturing groups. You hear about these large layoffs. Maybe Hewlett-Packard's one, I can't remember, but it's a substantial number, and these items just come quickly on the news. They say last night the offices of Hewlett Packard announced blah blah. So many men were so many employees were laid off. GM announced another 15,000. You hear these quick bulleted sort of news announcements, and then it's not heard again. I mean that particular company. And then there's another new batch of them. What they're doing is intentionally pulling strings among their corporate minions to cause the economy of the U.S. to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing for the American citizen to realize is that it's intentional. It's not the due to what the news media, propagandists, liars, deceptionists that they are, have been presenting to us since approximately September or so. You know, this didn't start 2 years ago. This started a few months ago. Prior to September, relatively speaking, everything else being equal,
but intentionally. Yeah,
we were doing fairly well. I mean, all the banks were there. We didn't have the proposals of the bailout. We didn't have the, quote, the housing market collapse, the credit market collapse. All this nonsense was just geared up and put into motion within days, within weeks.
Yeah, they had their Bilderberg meeting
last
fall, and it was like the next day or two all of this started.
Right.
Okay, and then you had Obama. And you know what? I'm jumping around a bit, but I'm remembering things because you were on some of these shows where I predicted certain banks that were going to go down in order.
And
I said to the listening audience one night, watch out in India. Watch out between Pakistan and India. Obama had gone over there, disrespected the soldiers in Afghanistan, the American soldiers, acted like he didn't see them.
Right.
Refused to acknowledge them.
Yes.
And then he made his little trip to Pakistan. And then we had this Mumbai incident right afterwards. Okay? So these people are doing this. They're bought out by Israel. They're bought out by the Zionists. They're bought out by the bankers that are basically the same people. And these people don't have a place that they can actually say they're from. You know, as a race of people, or as a social consciousness, they're antisocial, they're murderers, and charlatans. They even fake who they are, and so you can see all of this developing. You know, we had this Bilderberg meeting, and all of this started, and then everybody was swooning over Obama. Now look what he's doing, and there were a few voices that were speaking the truth about how corrupt and how phony his background is, and he can't document who he is. And you see how this conversation is shifting now. But it's all corruption we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The people know something's wrong, and they're now searching for answers. What is it that's wrong? We've been telling you all along, haven't
we?
Yes. Am I making this up, Ken, or have we been telling people this?
No, and that's why I find it, you know, kind of, well, it's kind of thrilling to be able to have these interviews, because we're creating these archives, which hopefully many people will listen to around the world. I'm finding the splendid revelations that I'm getting on internet radio shows like yours, Dr. K's. It's wonderful compared to the irritation and annoyance I feel when I'm listening to FM talk radio during the day as I'm doing my work. I usually have a little portable radio with me, and it's hard. I'm hungry for news, but I'm so irritated with the propaganda I get first from NPR, which is an Illuminati disinformation outlet,
big
bar
time.
None.
Yeah,
it's one of the premier disinformation outlets. I've said it, I'll repeat it. If you want to know what the Illuminati wishes the public to believe, then listen to NPR. That is the storyline you're expected to accept as real, you know, genuine history unfolding. And et cetera.
Legitimate.
Legitimate, right.
Yeah.
And the other station I listen to is KPFK, which is a Pacific station here on the West Coast. And a lot of material is interesting. It's valuable. It's in sync with my thoughts and my views. But a lot of it is also a is the left, I should even say the far left spin. The far right, you know, the neocons, the Bush type fascists, are bringing the country towards a new world order takeover just as much as the far left is doing. They're both ultimately working to bring in the new world order, and people on the left apparently don't know that. Now, I've talked to people who are genuinely brainwashed on the right, who actually think Bush is a fine man and he did the right thing by attacking those countries and he had the guts to do it, and you know, these people wrapped themselves in the flag, about the intellectual quotient that Bush himself possesses.
And they have no idea that millions of people have been displaced to flee
that
insanity.
They're so limited in their empathy towards what's really taking place, the suffering that has, you know, on such a massive scale that's been engendered. They are comfortable in their world, their comfortable world in front of their TV and listening to Rush Limbaugh, you know, make them feel good about themselves and rah, rah, you know, let's go America, you know, they're all gung-ho for the next invasion, let's kick their ass, yee-haw cowboy types. You have that type, and they're pretty pathetic, but you also have equally dumb, befuddled people who apparently don't have a brain cell in their head on the left. I usually hear the people on the left more often than the right.
You mean the left side of their head?
Yeah, it is remarkable. You know, many of the main talk hosts on KPFK, particularly the woman talk show hosts, really are silly. They're so ununderstanding. They have so little knowledge of what's really taking place in the world, and they banter about these fantasies, and then they have the minions from the left who suck a lot of people in because they're convincing. Noam Chomsky is a good example. Who cannot enjoy a speech, presentation, talk, dissertation, DVD, etc. by Noam Chomsky? Very skilled man, very intelligent man, very obvious. Most of what he says, most people most reasonable people can agree with. But you have to realize he's a gatekeeper on the left.
For MIT,
Just as Amy Goodman, also most of what she says I'm in agreement with. Most of the issues she raises a rational person would be in agreement with. Who would not be against this illegal war? We invaded and pulverized and killed millions of people, really, in two countries in the Middle East that did us no harm whatsoever. 9/11 was an inside job. If we're going to blame pin it on 19 fictional hijackers, well, according to the FBI, 90% of those hijackers were Saudi Arabians. Why didn't we bomb Saudi Arabia? What the hell are we bombing Iraq and Afghanistan for?
Yeah, and you mentioned Dr. K, and he outlines this very concisely in his book, Wrongly Blamed, where he describes 10 of them still, traceable.
Alive and well,
and dismayed that their names and their reputations are being drugged through the mud for this ruse, you see?
Right.
And there's definite evidence, not just of what happened to the buildings. There's evidence that the videos were fabricated.
Yes.
Tons of evidence. In fact, I went down the rabbit hole again on our usurper. I can't call someone who's not our president a president. Number one, he's not qualified and he's in there illegally. But all of his photos are doctored as well.
Yes.
Okay.
You've done fantastic.
You've seen the analysis I did on those photos.
Yes, you've done wonderful work, and I just wish enough people can see take the time to read all your stuff that you've posted to your website, because you've done fabulous investigative work. I mean, you're really exceptional in how much information you've unearthed, because you have a combination of both intellect and psychic intuitive abilities that's above, way above average. And it leads you to a lot of areas of investigation that even a good investigator wouldn't know where to start if he's just going, you know, just based on intellectual digging, you know, prying and examining. So, but because of psychic hunches, you're often led to areas that open up vast amounts of new information to you. So that's really wonderful. But I guess you're here at the right time to serve humanity.
Well, the reason I bring that up now in the context of 9/11, do you know that there were bombs, and Dr. K has written about this, and he's talking about this, he's done the homework, there were bombs found by police agencies, New York police, New Jersey police, they had actually set up all the bridges and tunnels to be blown up.
Right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I did hear it on your shows with him, and I need to get his book. I've told myself that on a few occasions now. I just got to take the time to get his book, because it's. I just want to read all the details that he's presented in his book. I've heard him often with you, and in some cases he's hosted internet radio shows, but. Yeah, I've got to get the book. Yeah, you're absolutely right. At the time, I was not aware of that, but, you know, thankfully, thanks to him, that I found all that out. I had no idea that those bombs had been planted in those tunnels in New York.
One would get the impression, since there were no more airplanes flying around that had those bridges or tunnels blown up, they would have blamed it on grasshoppers and dragonflies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. Right, it would have,
believed it.
Would have believed it, yeah, yeah. So anyway, just to step beyond the point we're making, people need to realize that the news presented daily is a script. That there is great corruption taking place daily around the world, not only in this country, around the world. That the people who are supposed to be in charge of law enforcement, who's supposed to be in charge of investigating crime, not all, of course, involved are corrupt, but the hierarchy is corrupt, and therefore the direction of investigation is directed by corrupt elements, whether it's the FBI or whether it's the Department of Justice or whether it's the military intelligence services, et cetera. The hierarchy of all major organizations, including the judicial system, including judges, et cetera, are corrupted. And they're held in corruption through blackmail, through having been drawn into a satanic network.
Or bribery. Bribery is another
right.
one.
Right. There's multiple avenues, but they've all been compromised. So their ethical code, if they had one to begin with, has been supplanted with an allegiance to a corrupt agenda and corrupt manipulators whose goal is to destroy America ultimately. Now, by creating the economic collapse, people will become desperate. They know that. As people become desperate, the first issues will be just to be able to keep up the mortgage. And then when you can't pay the mortgage, you lose the home. And then what do? Well, you try to rent. But if there's no money coming in, you're not going to rent for long. Then you're going to be perhaps homeless. And then naturally, you'll lose any medical coverage you might have. And then the next issue that will begin to implode on probably millions of people will be just getting enough food and water daily. And of course, this is planned, that these graduated increases in desperation, we'll call it, advance on a fairly steady state here. They don't plan to space this out over 20 or, you know, 20 years. This is all going to unfold in the next year or two or three. As they people become more desperate, what happens, just so you know, particularly in the inner cities, even if you're a law-abiding person just minding your business in your home at night, home break-ins will begin to increase. More people will be assaulted and robbed on the street because, as you know, people get more desperate for money. They'll just start, you know, the people who are willing to do this, of course, it's not everyone who will do this, but the more desperate types will say, well, I got to get some food for my kids and blah, blah, blah. So they'll just start robbing. They'll perhaps start with, you know, convenience stores or liquor stores or banks, but you'll see inner city crime will go up. Robberies will go up. And then as that escalates, similar to what's happening in, like Juarez, Mexico, where these drug cartels are so strong, you'll see a lot of violence. People are going to start getting, capped in the street, and then there'll be more home robberies, home invasions. And what will happen is that you're more, let's say, the people who can afford it, they simply won't stay in the inner city. They'll flee to more rural areas. Perhaps they'll flee the country if they're capable of doing that. But cities will become more and more violent and desperate places to be. So even, let's say, driving your car, you might, you know, if it starts getting desperate enough, you might have a pirates just setting up a roadblock and just stopping your car and pull you out of the car and rob you on the spot. It could come to that. Okay, so what will happen though is the government will propose solutions to avert this escalating situation, and a large percentage of the populace, not realizing they're being led like, you know, lemons to the sea, they'll agree to it because they'll be so fed up with the crime and the danger of just trying to, you know, live a normal life. You know, your kids are going to be assaulted. I mean, they're going to ratchet this up. So they'll offer a solution. What the solution will be is that they'll make it possible for people to have a place to sleep, have adequate food, etc., and they're called these relocation centers. Well, actually, they start off by calling them detention centers, but they'll call them relocation centers, similar to what they did during Hurricane Katrina. Remember, they had busting all those folks up to those FEMA camps. They were called relocation centers. So they'll put a nice name on it like that. Yeah. And sure enough, people will go there. And I'm just guessing how the scenario would be. But you'll probably be able to leave if you want to. I'm just guessing. But there'll be food there. There'll be sort of a community there. There'll be lots of places to live. And you say to myself, well, why am I going to go back, you know, out and live in a tent somewhere and worry about where they're giving me food here? So I'm guessing, but I think they're just going to make the FEMA camps seems so relatively attractive to millions of people that are particularly in the big cities that they'll start filling these camps up.
Just like the Nazis filled up the concentration camps.
Yeah, but I'm just guessing, but I don't think it'll be a forced thing right off the bat. I think they'll make it so amenable that people, once they're there, they'll say, hey, this isn't bad, and they'll probably offer some sort of work opportunity of something. I'm just guessing. But I just think the way they're going to suck, there's over 800 of these camps that we know of on the surface. How many, detention facilities are
underground?
Below ground
is
another matter. We know, there's a minimum 133 huge secret underground cities that Phil Schneider talked. There's probably more, but that's the number that Phil Schneider had in 1995. But anyway, these FEMA, 800 camps. Some of these camps have the capacity of over 1 million. There's one in Alaska. I think it has capacity of 5 million. There's another in the northern part of the United States. I forget exactly where, but Stuart Swerdlow mentioned this in his talk in 2002 that had a capacity over 3 million. So many of these camps have very large capacities. We're not talking just a couple hundred people. Of course, some of them, smaller ones, I'm sure, probably is a quarter million or so, but many of them have the capacity to approach a million or go over. Well, I think they'll make it attractive, and they'll collapse the dollar, and of course they'll make it next to impossible to, or they'll try to make it next to impossible to use any form of exchange other than their plastic card. They want to go to a cashless society. And again, that won't be 20 years from now. We're talking just a few years from now. I can't say exactly when, but I would think by 2012, most of this stuff is going to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
That's only, you know, 3 years away.
In our closing moments, let me interject something here.
Yeah, please.
You know, you think of a fraudulent situation. Let's say, for example, a couple is getting married, and so they go to either a justice of the peace, which you don't even hear that term anymore. There is no such thing as justice, and there is no such thing as peace. So they go to someone authorized to perform a wedding, okay? And then they live for a number of years. They live throughout their life, and then all of a sudden one day somebody notifies them that the person that married them actually wasn't qualified, so therefore their marriage is null and void.
Uh-huh.
They don't own their kids. They don't own their house. They have no credit. In fact, they're called on the debt instantly. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's sort of what's happened to us in this ruse with our country. Now, those people would be furious, would they not? Having been lied to their whole life. And by what they call common law, if they've been together over 7 years, in most states, they're considered to be married. Mm-hmm. But here you have an issue where the federal government that's fighting tooth and nail to take our rights away has from the beginning hoodwinked us into thinking that we actually had freedom, you see. This is why they use this word liberty so much, because it's conditional. It's a conditional permission to do a certain activity until you're told you're not allowed to do it anymore.
Yes,
that's slavery, okay?
Yep.
Now, since this is a two-party agreement, they're not really our rulers. We don't really have to pay attention to them in that sense. In fact, we could take measures as 300 million people in this country, not counting the illegal aliens. And do we really know how many we have? You know, do we really know how many are out of work? Do we really know how many are dying in Iraq or after they come back? The numbers are far greater than what we're told.
Oh, yes, than what's being reported. Everything
they tell us is a lie.
It's a fraud, right?
Mm-hmm. Everything, okay? And so if it was done fraudulently, then we have no allegiance to that private contract between the British Crown and the Virginia Company, which has never been absolved in any way.
Mm.
Okay? It's really the reason why these congressmen go to Washington and they don't do anything but stuff their pockets and their bank accounts.
Right.
And their faces.
Yes.
Okay? Have to add that. I think of Barney Frank.
Yes, right. You know? Barney Frank, wonderful soul that he is.
Okay, and these guys are getting away with running pedophilia houses.
Thank you. As soon as you said Barney Frank, that's the first thing that popped up in my mind. And I just had a victim. I haven't put up her story yet, but a monarch, victim of Project Monarch enslavement, told me just some wonderful anecdotes about some of these other leaders who played such a strong role in ushering in or shepherding through the so-called $750 billion Wall Street bailout. Names like Chris Dodd, another wonderful soul.
Stalin's grandson.
These people so richly need to be exposed to the public for the rats that they are.
You see, I mean, people are struggling over how do we fight this constitutionally. Well, the Constitution was created for them. It wasn't created for us.
Mm.
It's never applied to us.
Mm.
We've been lied to. We've been taught this in school. It's been a lie.
Mm.
And to think that people paid taxes to build the schools, to pay the teachers, and to burn the electricity or the coal furnaces or whatever whatever fuel they used to run, to buy the books, to pay the pension funds that they steal with impunity, and we're just sold a bill of goods all the way.
Yes, so, you're right. I've mentioned that before, but it's worth echoing again. Just like the Nazis during World War II forced the people who they were about to execute to dig their own graves. In other words, the Nazis themselves would steal from the victim their possessions. You know, they stole all this art and money and property, etc., from the people who they picked up and sent off to be killed in concentration camps. But even their victims, they never expend any labor. They force the victim to dig his own grave. Well, here too, in this country, we have the same sort of personalities that animated the Nazi regime bringing this country towards ruination. And same deal. The victims pay and dig their own grave. And if enough people realize that and stop cooperating with their own, you know, with their own funeral arrangements, it might be nice to perhaps rescue the people in future generations from this enslavement, this reduced, you know, world population, genocide and enslavement that's just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I see this, people have to, you know, those that understand this have to come to the realization. And you know, I don't think it takes any particularly brilliant legal mind to see that this agreement was for them all along. Mm. You see, you mentioned the Uniform Commercial Code. That's what the world's businesses, the world's corporations run on.
Yes. Right.
And they do this in subservience to the British Crown. Now you have these 13 Illuminati families, and every 20 years or so, they take turns getting their payoff.
Hmm.
One of them puts out money, they get richer, and then, and it's someone else's turn. And you can see the plot. I mean, ever since the creation of Israel, it's been a mission, a goal for them to destroy the Middle East, people
yes.
of Middle Eastern descent.
Yep.
Okay. And you see what's going on in Israel. You see the relationship to the central banks. You see the lobbyists and the infiltration of agents into this
yes.
country
yes.
everywhere.
Everywhere.
You see, they're involved in the real estate transactions, and they're involved in the plane crashes, and they're involved in 9/11. They're
yes.
involved in the banking. They're involved in the media. They're involved in the food companies and the oil companies.
Yes.
When are people going to wake up?
See? Right. That's an expression that I read on other articles, but I often append it myself to something that or sometime a letter to the editor in which I will be explaining or re-explaining, I should say, for the umpteenth time, something very basic about the New World Order takeover game. You think or you expect, you know, it's a, you know, from one's perspective, I know when I started to, I became aware of the New World Order game around 1994 by reading Bill Cooper's book. That's what started me on the road. And then by 96, I had my first website and I put up my first brief synopsis or an overview of the New World Order. And I, you know, would add to it from time to time. But the one that I have up there now is essentially the one that I had put up around initially in the spring of 1996. I just added some more information to it after, you know, the Kosovo war and after 9/11, et cetera. I just added a bit to it. I could do a lot more, I suppose, but somehow you presume that, well, I put that up 13 years ago now, And somehow you assume, well, a lot of people must have seen it by now, and you expect that that your readers will come along with you, but it doesn't really work that way. There's always a continuing crop of brand new people who just happen to stumble upon the site and just are reading the information for the first time. So,
or they stumble on this show and hear it for the first time.
Yeah,
you know.
So they ask elementary questions because they're just at the beginning of the education, and essentially you have to keep on repeating yourself. It's frustrating, and sometimes I get probably unduly annoyed about it. I guess I should be more have greater, you know, equanimity about it, since it is understandable, particularly younger people as they come on board. You know, I can imagine how relatively naive I was, let's say when I was just finishing high school, you know, and getting out into the world. To have been presented with all these conspiracies, having a steady diet of school and influence from movies and my parents, etc., there's no way you would have convinced me that this conspiracy could possibly be true. I mean, I would have just scoffed at it.
Mm-hmm.
At, you know, 17 or 18 years old, I would just think, yeah, you're nuts, man. Get out of here, you know, and I would just dismiss it like that.
Yeah.
And I do hear from many young people, some of them are belligerent and disrespectful and will, I usually don't publish that type of letter, but I still get that. And sometime I publish it, sometime I respond just to have a giggle, you know.
Yeah, there, you know, when I think about the fact that, FBI Director Robert Mueller gave a speech and disclosed the fact that there wasn't one shred of paper evidence or paper trail that 19 Arab hijackers were responsible for 9/11. What would be the next logical step at that point? Wouldn't you begin a murder investigation?
Yeah. Yeah, it was the FBI who manufactured the list within, I don't know, was it within 6 or 7 hours of the towers coming down that we were seeing the list of the 19 hijackers?
I think it was even before that.
Before that, okay.
Yeah.
Who put that list together? The FBI.
Or someone up above them. It could have been the NSA or the DIA or the DEA.
Well, I'm talking about through the media. The media said the FBI reported.
Well, that's what they said, yeah.
That's
what they said, but the media lied about everything, you see.
Of course,
so you can't take anything they say seriously. Still, there must be a murder investigation.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. You see?
Yep.
And they've scooped up all the evidence, so you can't do it on the basis of the evidence. You have to go by what they have a videotape. But you see, now there's a whole new breed of videos coming out, questioning everything, analyzing the anomalies in the video, you see?
Right.
Their own technology has backfired on them.
Yes, I could say the same with mind control of victims. They had assumed with their higher-level mind control victims like Bryce Taylor that they would never recover conscious memory of any of it, and it is backfiring on them, and that's how we find out about these hideous programs. And more importantly, that's how we find out the real or the true conduct of many of the national politicians that parade before us on TV cameras with, like Robert Byrd, with a copy of the Constitution under his arm. I've just recently been told a lot of very important information by a victim who's been recovering her memories of abuse, and man, there's few in public office who are free of involvement in these outrageous acts of depravity and abuse that are taking place in government buildings, in hotels, big hotels, like in Atlanta, Georgia, and Marriott hotels, and it's mind-boggling, the amount of abuse that's taking place.
Well, maybe you can give us a report on that on your next visit. You're coming back to the show on Wednesday, the 11th of this month. That's next week. So
right. Yep.
I'm looking forward to that. We've got to end the show.
Yes.
I want to thank you for being on.
Thank you.
It's been interesting, as usual.
Yeah. Thank you.
And, you know, we're not asking anyone to believe what we're saying. We've researched these things. You can do the same for yourself, or you can study our research. You can go to Ken's website, educate-yourself.org, and you can spend at least 18 hours there straight.
Yeah,
right?
Easy. Yes.
Easy. Or 18 months. I've been going there for years, and I haven't seen everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of data
you've
there.
Got.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And you're starting to post audio and that, and maybe you'll get into video pretty soon.
Yeah, well, I do want to concentrate on the audio. Thank you for reminding me. That's coming very soon now. I particularly want to put up audio archives of these fabulous shows that I've been hearing you doing with Dr. K especially. I mean, there's many fine shows you've done. I particularly like the great information from Jim Murray and Michael Anthony and recently with Phil Connolly and was it Davis?
Phil McConnell and David Hawkins.
Yeah, these are important shows, and I'll probably put some of the archives of my interviews with you up there as well, but that's coming soon. I want to people to be able to just be able to download an MP3 that if you have high-speed internet connection, a two-hour program will download in about 2 minutes and onto an MP3 file. And then what's terribly convenient is that MP3 players now are very small, very portable, not so expensive, $50, $60, $70, $80 for an MP3 player. But yet you can have, you know, many, many hours of recorded audio on an MP, you know, 1 gig or 2 gig hard drive. You can have literally hundreds of hours. So instead of doing what I've been doing, repeatedly listening to broadcast radio during the day and getting irritated, I'm going to now start loading up my MP3 player with more of your shows, for instance, and other shows. I'm hearing other shows from other people on internet radio that are just extraordinary in the quality of the information. This is a new chapter in the dissemination of real information thanks to the internet, so we can both read it and hear it. And yes, in time, I suppose we'll be doing something with video.
Yes, we like to call what you've just described the truth, simply put.
Right.
So, well, Ken, thanks for being on tonight's show, and I look forward to your interview on the 11th.
Same.
Time to say goodnight to our listening audience. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Again, go to his website, educate-yourself.org. You can also see a couple of pieces, actually, that I have posted on my site. One in particular, some photos that Ken took a few months back on chemtrails. And you go to directlightproductions.com for that. Just look for the word chemtrails. And there's a ton of pictures. We've talked about it on other shows. I heard there's a movie coming out soon, so we'll eventually be made into profits because people are starting to catch on to the game. And we don't need to play the game that they've created for us. We can start our own game. With that, I want to say to Don and Doug Newsom, thank you for making Evident Footprints possible. Thanks to Seth Hendrick for the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.